Today, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 18. We've been in this series on the Lord's Prayer, and we've been taking it a sentence at a time, basically, a stanza at a time, and talking about what Jesus said. And Jesus didn't say, I talked about this one Sunday when I first started this, and I was asking people where did you learn the Lord's Prayer? And I hope you're teaching your children and your grandchildren this. But Jennifer mentioned my cousin, she said, in the locker room. That's where I learned it, in the locker room, I think, when I was in junior high. Janice said she learned it whenever she was in first grade at school. God help us and bring it back into school. So our kids are learning it at school as well. But that's where I learned the Lord's Prayer, was in the locker room here at Leedy High School, Leedy Junior High. And we quoted it before every game, and whether it was baseball or basketball. And I'm so thankful that I learned it then. I'm so glad. I'm thankful that I grew up in this community, a Christian community, by and large a Christian community, small town America. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and we're going to read this, and I'm going to read this to you. And if you know it, I want you to repeat it after me, if you know the Lord's Prayer. This then is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Everybody repeating it? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture that we're going to focus on today is verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And that's a debt is like a, you know, we think of that in our society as payment, a debt that we owe. And so we're going to talk about that. I want you to know, and I shared this, been trying to share this every Sunday, this is not just a prayer that we just religiously ritual quote like we do before a ball game or whatever, but Jesus said this is a model prayer. This is a pattern to pray. And you need to follow this pattern is what, because the disciples were asking Jesus, they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us how to heal the sick or do miracles or signs and wonders. They knew where all that was coming from because they were watching him the 3 years that they traveled with him, his private prayer life. He had a private prayer life and a powerful ministry. And you're not going to see the power of God without private prayer. And everybody said, amen. And so I found this, and I thought this was really good, and I just want to share it with you. How do I use the Lord's Prayer personally? How do I use that in my thought processes when I'm praying? First of all, you need to start with praise and worship. You need to start with, adoring God. A lot of us just go to God with our laundry list of needs, and that's okay. God wants to meet our needs, and he wants you to ask. But you need to start off the prayer, your prayer time, with praise and worship. And then the second thing you need to do is, notice this, pray God's will be done. Not your will be done, but God's will be done. And then the third thing is, we talked about this last week, pray for your needs and the needs of others. Confess, this is what we're going to learn today, confess and ask for forgiveness. Number five is ask for help forgiving others. That goes with what we're learning today. Sixth thing is pray for safety and deliverance. And then you're going to end it with praise and worship as well. So that's kind of like a little outline of your prayer, what the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus was teaching the disciples, and what he's teaching us. When I was studying this, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then Jesus finishes that down to verse 13. And then in verse 14, he says it again. And now he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty stout. That's pretty strong. And as I was studying that, I was like, okay, God, are you saying that I can miss heaven if I don't forgive others? So stop and think about that for just a second. Here's the deal. I don't know, because I'm not him. I'm not the judge. But here's the deal, I don't want to find out. I don't want to take the chance to find out. I do know this, that if you walk in unforgiveness, you're not going to live the abundant life here on this earth. The enemy's going to torment you. You open yourself up to the enemy. In fact, the number one door opener, you need to take note of this, the number one door opener to the enemy is unforgiveness. and walking in unforgiveness. Guys, I'm going to tell you, what I'm teaching you today through God's Word is so important, because if you walk in unforgiveness, it affects your spirit, it affects your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and it also affects your body. Because it can cause you to be sick. In fact, I believe that unforgiveness feeds cancer. I believe it does. And medical science has proven all this out. And when I was studying this, guys, I feel like God's going to release healing in this place today as you learn to forgive. It's not something that we do by feelings. It's what we do by faith. And I even saw mental health being restored today in some people. Synapses is starting to connect right. Because whenever you walk in unforgiveness, you open yourself up to the enemy for torments, what the Bible says, in your mind and your emotions. And so God wants to heal that in you today as you learn and as you do walk in forgiveness. It's not something you learn. I mean, when Jesus said that in Matthew 6, verse 14, 15, he didn't suggest it. It's a command. As followers of him, it's not about how you feel. It's a choice. And I can sit up here and tell you all kinds of stories, and I guarantee you, you'd be on my side, and we would be like the sons of thunder, James and John, calling down fire from heaven. God, kill them all because of what they did to me. Anybody else had those kind of stories? I know some of you in here's got those kind of stories, you know. But Jesus rebuked James and John and said, "Hey guys, you don't know what spirit you're of when you're like that." Okay, vengeance is his. You know what? And sometimes it ain't going to happen in your lifetime. Because I'm like, vengeance is your God. Get him tomorrow. Get him right now. I'm being serious. Are y'all with me? Some of you are looking at me like, oh my God, like you're holier than me. No, you're not. I know you're not. And I'm not that holy either. Because we need Jesus. We need his help. And I'm telling you, I've had some things that have been done me wrong. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to teach you some things today, some things not to do and things to do. And one of the things that you don't do that I learned early on is I had somebody really do me wrong one time, and it hurt. It hurt me so bad. I'm a grown man, right? Okay? This happened years ago. It hurt me so bad, so deep. I was so mad that have you ever been so mad that you cry? Because it hurt? Yeah, that's how mad and upset and how of an attack that this was. This person was being used to the enemy. Even Christians can be used to the enemy, by the way. And this person was being used to the enemy and was just, and when they were speaking, I already knew that it was the enemy. It wasn't them. I know I'm not fighting against flesh and blood, but this person was bringing up every, let me say it this way. He was bringing up every fear, every insecurity, every kind of thing that I was dealing with inside. And I was so upset. So upset. So mad and so upset I was bawling. Okay, here's I'm gonna teach you something right now, okay? I learned this. You know who the first person I called? Was my dad. I said, "Dad, guess what happened?" And I was mad. And I was like, "Let's go kick some butt." I'm just going to be honest, okay? Yeah. But after I got off the phone, the Holy Spirit got on to me and said, "Mark, why didn't you take that to us?" Talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "You took it to your dad." I was like, "Well, I love my dad." You know, my dad's my dad. He's for me. I know he's for me. We're family. All this. And he said, "Well, I'm for you too, but you should have took that to me, because you know what? Now your dad's got to deal with this." Yeah, way to go, Mark. You know, I put it on his shoulders. And I'm sharing this story because that's what we do. When we get offended or wronged or hurt, that unforgiveness comes in, the first person we call is either parents, friends, siblings, somebody, and we just start spewing venom. And then all of a sudden they're on our side, and we got everybody walking in unforgiveness. That's called a root of bitterness, and I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. But has anybody been there? Am I talking to the right people this morning? Okay. All right. We're all family, yes. But, and I'm going to switch gears here for just a second, because we're living in an era right now of, and you've probably heard this on the news, the cancel culture, which is a modern form of ostracism in which someone is suddenly thrust out of social or professional circles. I'm not saying that we don't, forgiveness is not laying over and playing dead. Forgiveness is not standing up for what's right, okay? Because we got to stand up for what Jesus did. He put the religious people in their place and other people in their place. But we cannot cancel people. And everybody said, amen. A cancel culture encourages people to be reluctant to forgive, and that's dangerous. It creates an environment where no one can disagree with us, and if they do, they're an enemy. And we can't ask for grace but refuse to give grace to others. If we want grace, we must give grace. And everybody said, amen. We got to be able to, you got to give it. Freely you have received, freely that you give, all right? And we're seeing all kinds of stuff coming out today. I mean, everything is coming out of the closet. And it's time for Christians to come out of the closet, the prayer closet, and stand up for what's right, but be able to cancel the debt, but love the person that's caught up in that. Because they're hurting. There's people that are hurting. That young man that's standing up that competed with the women, he is seriously, severely confused. All right, and he needs somebody to love him out of that mess. Amen. I don't agree with what he's doing and how the world's portraying it and all this kind of stuff. I'm the first one to say that is not right. God made male and female. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. But that young man needs help. He needs Jesus, and we need some people to, you know, be firm and love him out of that. And everybody said amen. All right, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 30. This goes further into this. Jesus teaches a parable about the unmerciful or the unforgiving servant, and he uses this word debt in there as well. And it says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. You know, here's Peter. He thinks he's doing such a great job. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 7 times 70, and that was actually a number for eternity. And it says, therefore, the kingdom of, and then Jesus goes in, and before I read verse 23, I got to tell you a funny story, is this week, the Lord even brought up something in me that I thought I had forgiven, and God said, no, you haven't. It's still there. You've just stuffed it way down, and it rose back up, and you need to deal with it. And I said, okay, and we took care of that. But this week, something funny that happened was I was texting Patricia, and she texted me back, and I text her something to do, and she texts me back. She goes, or I text her, I'm sorry, please forgive me, or something like that. That's why I text her. And she texts back, you're forgiven. And I said, and I sent back 70 times 7 because I've been studying the scripture. And she texts back, she goes, no, 50 times 5. And I said, that's not even, and I texted back, that's not even scriptural. She goes, well, I'm from the south side of the kingdom. I was like, only Patricia can come up with stuff like that. I'm from the south side of the kingdom. All right, verse 23 says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, and I underline this, says he canceled the debt and let him go. I want you to notice he canceled the debt is what he canceled, and then he let that person go. That's forgiveness. When you can cancel the debt and then let that person go. Not hold them in bondage. And really, you're not holding them in bondage. You're holding yourself in bondage when you're walking in unforgiveness. Verse 28 says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him. This is about a month's wage is what that was back then. It says, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison and until he could pay the debt. So this guy, he freely received, but he didn't freely give. And I have to say that a lot of the times we do the same thing. We freely receive it, but it's, I don't know if I want to freely give that. I'm just going to give you three things today to think about with unforgiveness, guys. And the first thing is, this is what I'm praying that happens today in every one of us, that God creates within you a desire to forgive. And let me, you might be saying desire. I thought it was a command. It is. It's a command, and you need to do it. You know, you do it with your will, not with your emotions or feelings. But this desire, I'm going to read you something here, because you need this desire has to be godly, and it has to come from His throne to be deposited within you, that desire to forgive. Okay? Because your flesh is going to scream against this. I'm telling you, you need to have a flesh fry. Look at somebody and say, you need to have a flesh fry to walk in forgiveness. It may not seem like it, but having a desire to forgive is the biggest hurdle you need to clear before you can reach total forgiveness. Most of the time, people feel justified in holding a grudge. They've been wronged. You know, they've been wronged. I mean, it's justifiable. And then they feel justified by holding on to that grudge. All right? Forgiving, so here's some things that forgiveness is not. Forgiving someone isn't a special favor to those who have wronged you. It isn't justifying what they've done. And, listen to this, it doesn't even indicate a restored relationship. And that's where a lot of people mess up. They think forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things, all right? And you can forgive without reconciling. It's wonderful if you can reconcile. And I just want to tell you this. Pray. First of all, get the forgiveness with you and God, all right? Forgive that person. But if you're to go to a person, God is going to let you know. I promise you. But even how they respond is not your fault. If God tells you to go, God's trying to do something in them as well. And they may not respond right that first time that you go to them. Amen? God may tell you to go again. I don't know, but you just need to listen to Him. That's not my department. That's between you and Him. But you need to listen to Him. But there's a lot of times you won't have to go. There was one time where I felt like that I needed to go to this person because it was really bothering me. Have you ever been bothered when you're walking in unforgiveness, okay? And you know, I've prayed about it with God, and I've forgiven, and I've cast the care on Him and all this. Man, there was just still this gut feeling that I needed to go to Him, and I was praying about it, and I was making plans to go to this person, and God stopped it, me from going. And I was like, "What, God, why are you stopping me?" He says, "Mark, I just wanted to see if your heart was willing to." And I was willing. But now I'd already told God something else, though. I said, "God, I don't want to go into this situation." God wants you to be honest with Him, right? Okay? I said, "I really want reconciliation, but I'm not going to go into this situation and take another butt chewing." God doesn't want you to be abused verbally, mentally, or anything like that. God's a good Father. And everybody said, amen. So what I'm trying to tell you is talk to God about it. Most of the time, He's not going to tell you to go. Sometimes He will. All right? But that's between you and the Lord, and you need to be obedient to that, because God is into reconciliation. He wants things to be reconciled. And I think sometimes, I need to be careful how I say this, but it also depends on the relationship too, okay? Everything is different. I'm just, you know, there's different relationships, there's different things that go on. But the most important thing is God wants your heart, and He wants you to walk in forgiveness. And everybody said, amen. In fact, forgiveness isn't something that happens between you. Listen to this. Forgiveness isn't something that happens between you and another person. It's actually a transaction between you and God. That's the most important thing right there, between you and God. Like I said, if that reconciliation is to happen, pray about it, talk to God about it. You know, He knows what you need to do in that situation. And if you want to hold on to a grudge, you'll never get where you need to go. You've got to desire to forgive. And it begins, listen to this, and it begins with a desire to obey God that outweighs any other fleshly desire. I want to obey God. My flesh is screaming, throw stones at him. God called down fire from heaven. I've got my go to hell list over here. I'm being honest this morning. And God's saying, Mark, that ain't of me. That spirit is not of me. I want you to walk in love and forgiveness towards that person. Any part of your heart and my heart that's occupied by unforgiveness is uninhabited by God. I'm going to say that again. Any part of your heart that's occupied by unforgiveness is uninhabited by God. God is moving in this hour to restore families and relationships like never before. I believe that with all my heart. And I've seen it happening. I've seen God restoring families and marriages and healing all kinds of things. But he's got to have you as a willing participant to make that to happen. You can pray till you're blue in the face until you're that willing participant. God, use me to however this needs to happen. Amen? All right. The second thing, after you have that desire to forgive, my desire is I want to please God more than man. I want my flesh under submission to God, and I'm going to choose to forgive. It's a choice. This next one, here it is, the choice. Make a decision to forgive. That's number two. Make a choice to forgive. What we read back in Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, Jesus did not suggest that we forgive. He made forgiveness a command. And most people don't realize this. Now listen to this. Most people don't realize this, but unforgiveness is actually a form of fear. You're afraid. Quite often we don't forgive because we're afraid. Now listen, this is what happened to me, something God exposed in me this week. Quite often we don't forgive because we're afraid of getting hurt again, and we're afraid we will never recover from the damage someone has done to our lives. Yeah, and so we're just closed off. We've got that place closed off in our heart, and it's uninhabited by God. And maybe you're thinking, I've already made the decision to forgive time and again, but every time I think of that person or situation, oh, here we go. I just get all angry all over again. Here's the secret. You forgive by faith, not by feelings. You forgive by faith and not by feelings. Some of the times when I was talking about this, when you have unforgiveness in your heart and you don't even know if it's unforgiveness, it's creating this fear in you. So it's creating you to establish another relationship. Could be from a marriage, it could be a family relationship, it could be in the church. And so what it does is that unforgiveness gets in there and you think you've forgiven, but the next person comes along that had nothing to even do with this situation. The next person comes along that you want to have a relationship with, and you're all of a sudden like this, and you're being cynical, you're being suspicious, you're being the enemy's just running rampant in your mind that they're going to do the same thing to you that was done to you in the past. If you're walking in that, I can guarantee you, you're walking in unforgiveness. You might have said it with your mouth, you're trying to get right with. But if that comes up, and that came up in me this week, and God's saying, Mark, that's still an area of hurt that I'm wanting to take out. And I was like, Lord, break it down, because I'm wanting the Spirit to break out. So break that down in me. All right. Okay. Here's number three. Number three is, you're going to have to fight to stay in forgiveness. I wish I could tell you, you know, once you make this decision, once you have this desire and you make this decision, it's just going to come easy. The devil's going to fight it tooth and nail, all right, because he knows this is his number one door opener in your life if he can get you to walk in unforgiveness. Fight to stay in forgiveness. I love what Paul told Timothy. Fight the good fight of the faith. Faith, that's part of faith, is walking in forgiveness and love. And once you make the decision to forgive, you will have to fight to stay in forgiveness. The devil will do everything he can to knock you off your stance. He'll try to get you to rehearse what happened, and when he does that, you're going to have to say out loud, Devil, no, that has been forgiven, and I resist you in the name of Jesus. Now go. And you may have to say that all the time until you start believing it down in your heart. And once you have forgiven, now this is where you got to go. Like when I go back to where the first person I called was my dad. Instead of calling up God, I called dad. Because I was wanting somebody on my side. I'll just be honest with you. You know, misery loves company. I wanted to get a whole group of people. I wanted to go tell the whole church. I want the whole church on my side, right? And God was saying, no, Mark, this is something we need to privately deal with. Once you've forgiven, speak and act in accordance with that decision. Refuse to say anything negative about anyone who has hurt you. Refuse to rehearse in your mind or with your mouth the hurt they caused you. Instead, look for opportunities to bless them both in word and in deed. It's real quiet in here today. We're fixing to have some tacos and some dessert here in just a little bit. But I want to show a video right now, and then I'm going to come back up, and I'm going to have two more scriptures I'm going to read. And I just believe there's some people here that God wants to set free today from walking in unforgiveness, okay? The Lord's breaking you down so the Spirit can break out in you. And this is a video from Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas. And this, you may be sitting there, but Pastor Mark, you don't know what's been done to me. In Jesus' name, you can do it. In His name, you can do it. You're never more like Jesus or like the Lord than when you're walking in forgiveness. Because when He was on the cross, He looked out there at all of His accusers and everybody, even the people that had abandoned Him, His own disciples, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I want to get there, all right? That's maturity, and that's spiritual maturity. So I want you to watch this video real quick.
We were at home with the children, and the phone rang, and Erwin's voice just, he just was stunned.
Two men broke into Alexander and Velma Ewing's home on Avenue L. This makes the second murder of an elderly person.
It was just chilling. It just froze us.
He is 16 years old, and tomorrow he goes on trial on a murder charge that could send him to prison for the rest of his life.
When we walked out of the courtroom, I took him with me. I wanted to leave him there. I wanted to leave him far away and erase this. But God said, that's not what I want you to do. Somebody needs to love him.
Granddaddy Ewing would have said, you need to pray for this man's heart. Don't let that anger and that hurt fester. Let it heal. Just walk in forgiveness.
And we started praying for him and his family. And during that time, God was doing a major overhaul on our hearts.
When Pastor Robert made the announcement about the prison campus, we saw the video, and it took my breath away. When my sister looked up and found that he was in the same prison campus as where Gateway had a church campus in the Cofield unit, it was just unbelievable. We were all floored.
I found out that he'd been to some of our services, and so the following week, I found him inside the sanctuary. I said, I want to tell you about a family that's been praying for you for 35 years. The day you left the courtroom, they committed to start praying for you. He had just, tears just filled his eyes. We were able to baptize him and just see the joy on his face coming up out of the water.
And now we're on his team. Is that amazing? Forgiveness and prayer couple together to serve God's purpose.
And I know Granddaddy is so proud of us for living that way, because that's what he embodied. What a great example and what a great legacy to live is to walk in love and forgiveness.
Amen. That is the power of forgiveness right there. power of forgiveness. When she talked about prayer and forgiveness being coupled together, and that scripture right there is Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 31. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." In Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 15, this family made the right choice. They had that desire that it came down from Granddaddy. You'd heard him talk about Granddaddy, that he was a man that walked in love and forgiveness. It was spilled over into his family tree, and they made that decision to walk in forgiveness. And they kept fighting that good fight of faith for 30-some years, and that young man got saved. That's powerful. Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 15, it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just feel like that there's some people here today that through this message, through God's word, you've realized that maybe you thought, like I did, that you were over it, that you were walking in total forgiveness, but God has revealed some things that you're still walking in unforgiveness. And if that's you, I want you to just stand up right there where you're at. I'm not going to embarrass you or, you know, have you come up here, up forward. I just want to pray over you right there. Amen. Amen. Now, there's people standing up all around here. Okay, if you see people standing up around you, would you mind, the ones that are seated, do you mind getting around them, laying your hands on them for me, please? This is body ministry here today. Amen. 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 And if you, and I'm releasing this right now because I'm going to pray, but if you feel like that you have a word for that person, you know, please share it with them. Or if you have your own prayer that you feel like the Lord is wanting you to pray over them, I want you to do that. Some of you in here may know what's going on with somebody, but I want you to pray with them, okay? All right. Father, I thank you that you're setting people free in this house today. God, in the name of Jesus, you're going down to the very root, not just the surface stuff. We're not just using words today and saying, "Oh, Lord, I forgive them." God, we're asking you to go to the very root, the root of bitterness, God. There's some people here today that are forgiving parents that they've been holding unforgiveness towards, God. And as they do that, Lord, I'm seeing that you're just blessing the whole family tree. God, the whole family tree is being released from unforgiveness. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Lord, help them to realize, God, yes, this is for them, but it's also for others that are in their care. Because the Bible says that a root of bitterness, if we let it take root, then it can cause trouble and defile many. So, Lord, we thank you that trouble's being canceled today, defilement's being canceled today in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that family trees are being set right today in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't want to feel no more.
Jennifer, just set that free, Jennifer. The Holy Spirit's moving in here today, guys. This is people getting set free. Unforgiveness has been holding too many people in bondage. Let it go, Jennifer. Just let it go, honey. Just let it go.
I don't want it.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that demonic strongholds are being broken today in the name of Jesus. God, because unforgiveness is a door opener to the enemy. God, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. praying. We still have people praying around. The Holy Spirit's moving in our midst and ministering healing to people and setting people free. So beautiful what the Lord's doing here today. I've been walking around and just hearing people praying for family members, and there's lots of healing going on in families. Amen. The other thing that I saw too is that last scripture was Lord's been going to the root in Hebrews. And as he went to the root, I was seeing family trees starting to straighten up the way they're supposed to be. In God's kingdom, when we're walking in forgiveness. Amen. Don't you just love the Lord? Just love this sweet spirit that's here today. I feel like I was walking back up here, and I was like, I feel like if you ever watched Aladdin, I know this is goofy, but the genie in the bottle when he goes group hug. That's what I want to do right now, just group hug with everybody. I'm telling you what, this is going to make the tacos taste even sweeter and the desserts even sweeter. Jennifer, you're going to walk out of here so light today. You're going to be able to eat a taco six pack and a dessert all by yourself. I love it. God's doing some deep things in people today. He told me he was. He said, I'm going to the root today. Amen. And he has. Just continue to allow him to do that, okay? Because the enemy, I know how he works. We're not, his schemes and strategies never, you know, they're always the same. But he's going to try to come and tell you that nothing happened today, but they did. by faith, you took it to the root, and you're going to have to remind him of that, okay? Father, I just thank you and praise you for what you've done here in our midst today, God, and what you're going to continue to do as we continue this atmosphere of just fellowship and loving on one another, and as the body of Christ, Lord, we strengthen one another when we have that fellowship with one another. And so, God, I just thank you for the food that we're going to receive here in a little bit and just the fun that we're going to have together as a church family. Just pray a special blessing over everyone here today. God, I thank you that you're we have the desire, we're making the choice, and we're going to continue to fight the good fight of faith to walk in forgiveness and walk in love. Because, Lord, when we break all that down, that's when your spirit can break out and break through us, God. And we just thank you for that today, God. Thank you for your sweet spirit, Lord. Father, I just want to speak a blessing over everyone here today out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We want everybody to stay and eat with us. And if I can have some guys that would help. And if you continue to need prayer, please. I want us to continue in this atmosphere of prayer. But also, the guys, if we get some guys lined up to start helping get all the tables set up and the food table.